All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
All right, so I'm thinking a harmonica, like grab a harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
And like add a little harp to that.
Absolutely.
Maybe
it,
a little bit
like
more.
It needs like, I did the little clappies at the end, but it needs like a tambourine or something at the, in the throughout the thing too, I think.
Oh, all right, so dig this. You ready?
Yeah.
So my band, BJ and the Biz.
BJ and the Biz.
So we had to turn down some work because Tony the drummer, Tony Cleland,
yes,
was going to be out of town.
Okay.
And so we ended up not getting any gigs in March.
Boo.
So, but we've been wanting to play more.
Yeah.
So we got two gigs in April.
Nice.
And so we're going to practice.
Weird.
Yeah. Because it's kind of like we were getting thrown these gigs, and the gigs are practice where we get paid for.
Absolutely.
It. And so, so I've been trying to talk them into like doing a night somewhere, that it's a BJ and the Biz night. Like a Tuesday or Wednesday,
uh-huh,
where we play every week, which,
yes,
would be good, extra cheese.
Mm-hmm. Is this not possible at Blarney?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. I had to run it by the rest of the band,
right,
first to see if they were down for playing that much, you know, and kind of committing to it.
Well, but they shouldn't be in the fucking band then.
Well, so, but anyway,
yeah,
we're going to practice. And so I talked to our boy, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that sweet K Street Studios.
Yes.
And did you go in there like all around? Did you like tour a little bit? They have a,
yeah,
bigger room in,
yes,
there.
Yes, that big huge room. Yeah.
Where, and so I asked him about, hey man,
practice space or something.
Could you think we could hit up a, and then, because we've gone out there and just hung out and,
yeah,
and just screwed around,
sure,
and then, you know, and drunk wine, and then the ladies do art, and then we try to make some music.
Sure.
So it's just kind of a fun like hangout. So it'd be fun to go out there with some people, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. You probably get,
have a blast.
You probably get 12 or 15 people,
oh, yeah,
and have a lot of fun in there, and everyone could park and work on a bunch. But anyway, lay down drums and bass and a studio and record the song proper.
Yeah, and it would sound much better than what I did on my MacBook in your,
it's,
living room.
It's not too bad.
It's really,
I mean,
not.
For,
like, it's,
you
really
know,
not.
For throwing it together, you,
that's,
know.
That's right.
Like, it's punk rock.
It's
not punk rock.
It sounds good, though. I think so. Anyway.
I do, too.
But anyway, thanks for out there for listening. Check us out on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. That's really it. And when you go there, you'll see that there's no posts because we don't post anything.
That's all right.
But check out lifesofbinge.com.
You can call us.
And yeah, call us. We haven't got a phone in a while. I'm going to play it just because we can.
Life's a Binge. Phone Army.
We gotta go. One Phone Renegade.
Don't you want? You can be a part of that. 619-438-0532. 619-438-0532. Give us a call. Tell us about anything. In fact, we're going to talk about something that my buddy Nick, he was going to call, but then I just told it on the air anyway. We'll talk about something that he recommended, and I think it's pretty cool.
Right on.
But anyway, check us out. And as of right now, we're going to start the show. So breathe in with us.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow.
Yes. Right? See, we can... I can play it now.
Right on. What, yeah, about now? What about that last drop from we were talking about before?
Which one?
The little edit from the trying to record the song.
Did I? Oh, it's not on here, but I have it.
Okay.
Yeah, I should put it on here. That would be good. Where you like lose your
mind. Where I mess up the song.
God, it's so good. It's my like favorite thing. But anyway, let's get into our first deal.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
one's fun. I think I want to like add more stuff to all of these. Like, I think there needs to be like this little something to get you into that, because it sounds like we're doing it live every time just because it goes, what's up? There's no like,
not necessarily
like a glissando like that, but just something to like kick it off, like a bass drum, boom, what's up, something like that. Anyway, but I have ideas for all of them.
Right on.
Yeah, I guess.
We got something.
Yeah, we have drops and we have a little drop machine.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's cool. But anyway, what's up, man?
You know, the same for the most part.
Working, moving, unpacking.
Unpacking still, working a lot, doing filters with Tony for TLC Pools.
Yeah.
He's not really accepting any new clients, so you have to be very special if you want to get your pool cleaned.
Just say life's a bitch and then maybe you'll see what's up.
He might say
that's right.
Say, what's that?
And if you say Tony in the Mesa, I need you to wash my pool. Like if you say that, he probably will make room for you. I'm just speaking out of my ass. He probably won't. But anyway, just sing Tony in the Mesa, and he'd be like, "I heard about you on Life's a Bench. Clean my pool."
Well, I think his you know, he's at such a place in his business where he can turn people away.
Yeah,
he could probably cut a few people if he wanted.
Right,
you know. So it's kind of like where you get to pick.
I'm so popular, I have a good job.
Well, that's what he says every day.
I bet. He sounds just like that.
Going to work. I'm so popular.
I'm so good. I have so many clients. My name's Tony. I'm the mayor of La Mesa.
So,
thanks for calling, Tony. That was a good call. We appreciate that. We just had him live. Did you hear? It was great.
So what's been up with you, man?
I saw Greatest Showman again.
Right on. I have not seen that.
Dude, it's going to be out of theaters, and you're going to miss it.
I will miss it.
And you have a movie pass, and just go see it.
Yeah.
I know it's easier said than done.
Yeah, much easier.
But
it's so funny. Gosh. It's so funny how quickly and easily every moment of your week will get committed to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, especially when you're talking about seeing a movie time,
right?
Like if you need a 3 hour, right. You need a 3 hour window somewhere, and to be ready to jump on it and act on it.
Yep.
And that really hasn't been happening too much, but maybe on Monday, if it's still around on Monday,
you should definitely see it. You're going to love it.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I'm kind of enamored with it,
I want to talk about it.
Well, but also that it was one of these rare movies where they had special screenings where it would encourage everybody to sing along.
Right.
And maybe they put the words up like karaoke, like they do. They do it like Sound of Music and other movies.
Yeah, the soundtrack's so good. I listened to it 3 times all the way through today at work.
So, it must hold up. I would have listened to it today. I'm going to listen to it.
You should.
I will.
But like I said,
when you know the context, same as Hamilton,
right?
You know, or anything.
Well, Hamilton, you can kind of get through once you listen to it more than once. But like, it's so much better once you can picture it in your brain.
No, for sure.
But yeah, it's so good, dude.
Right on.
I hope you like it.
You're is it historical?
It stinks. I believe.
Or is it just fiction?
I believe it's the real story. It doesn't say like this is the real story, but I mean he's P.T. Barnum. Yeah.
Does he use his name, P.T. Barnum?
Uh huh. And it's him like creating The Greatest Showman.
You ever seen Barnum?
What? The Circus?
The musical play?
No.
Barnum?
No.
Is
it about P.T. Barnum creating
sure
the circus?
Well, it's about P.T. Barnum and life in the circus. And
interesting. Never seen it. I wonder if it's related.
To this one?
Yes,
I was wondering.
This
well,
is
when
very
it came
musical-y.
Out. When it came out, that's exactly what
it's
I thought.
The Greatest Show.
But that's not in Barnum.
Of course not. But it's brand new. It's well written book lyrics, all that stuff. So, but it's so good, dude. And Hugh Jackman's magic.
There's the museum store. You ready? Ready?
Yeah.
Quite a lot of Roman terracotta, living lava from the flanks of Etna, statuary, ride a dromedary, see the temple tumble in the Red Sea part. Educated fleas, a tribe of aborigines, she's laid to join us, cost knees, a Mona Lisa made of ice. Hot spots, forgotten spots of cotton gin, a night lot in Sodom, better see that twice. One iguana, snakes, another fauna, got no beard or lady, but we're getting a. When you duck out, take another buck out, run around the block, see a new show start.
And this is in Barnum?
Yep.
So you know the show well then.
My sister
or you
was
just
in
learned
it.
That.
My sister was in it.
Or you just learned that song because it's like, I can do that.
It is one of those songs, right. Though. Yeah, when you hear it, it's like, you know, that's like 76 Trombones, Music Man.
Oh, yeah.
So when I saw the Music Man as a kid, And that opening, cash for the merchandise, cash. Yep. Like I had to learn this. Yeah. Right? I played it over and over. We had the record, the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Drop the needle in the beginning of it over and over and over again.
That's awesome.
Bottle tea Ford made the trouble. Make the people want to get up and go 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14.
What are you talking?
Yep. So much fun. So much fun.
But
and that same thing's happened with Hamilton with a lot of folks. They got to learn that Lafayette rap.
God, it's so difficult. I haven't even tried, but I imagine it's difficult to learn it.
I'm grabbing this horse by the reins, red coats, red with blood stains. I'm never going to stop until I make them drop and burn up the sky to their remains.
So I swear that I mentioned on air the Weird Al Hamilton polka thing. But I plugged it into the episode anyway because I thought we talked about it. But then I listened to the whole thing and I was like, nope, we didn't talk about that at all. But
it comes out of left field, but I enjoyed it to death.
It's so good.
It's super duper good. Yeah. It's so good. And it's not like he's changing the words or anything. He just does it
a polka
little
style.
Polka mashup of it's a so bunch good. Of the songs.
Well, and there's like now video of like him and Jimmy Fallon and Lin-Manuel Miranda like lip singing on Tonight Show, and there's a reaction video of Jimmy Fallon and Lin-Manuel Miranda like listening to it for the first time, and like they just love the shit out of it.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Well, I'm a huge Weird Al dork. Like people either love him or they hate him, and I'm a love him type guy.
I don't know who hates Weird Al.
A lot of people. They think he's annoying.
Oh, they're dumb.
They are dumb. Samantha, my wife, you're dumb.
yikes. I didn't mean to.
No, she's not a big fan. She just thinks his voice is annoying.
I could see that.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it.
I could see that.
But he's hilarious. And he's
funny. He's very funny.
That was basically it, though. I saw Greatest Showman again. And I even posted a thing on Facebook today where I'm like, go see it if you haven't seen it, because you're going to miss it in theaters. And it's worth seeing on the big screen.
Right on. That's cool.
And not just on the big screen, but like with big movie theater sound. Because like, man.
Now, would you go to one of the sing-alongs if they had one?
Probably.
Like, you enjoy singing the song?
Yep. They're very, very good. And I would play one now, but hopefully when you see this movie, we'll talk about it as an episode, and I'll play it during that commercial break instead of during this one.
Okay. Because I can load it on my Apple Music.
Well, I can play it on my little phony phone.
On your Spotify.
Phone. That's right.
Boo.
I'm surprised I haven't jumped ship and done Apple. I have literally Apple everything else on the face of the earth, and I just
how I'm much like, is Spotify
15 well it's 15 for me because I have like the family sharing thing, so Samantha can use it too.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, that was what's up with me. I just saw that movie again. I don't think there's anything else new.
You know what's new for me, and like we haven't
do tell
we haven't Well, we've kind of accepted the fact that we're a pop culture, that we'll go on different topics of entertainment.
Us?
Yeah.
Tangent train.
Not quite a tangent
no,
train.
No, I'm just saying we talk about whatever. That's what that's for.
Right. And and we'll even like, make subjects of whatever.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
If it's popular, whatever was happening. But anyway, absolutely. The latest Tribe Called Quest album. It's came out like maybe a year ago, and I remember them doing stories about it and everything, and my being told, oh, it's really good, you should listen to it. It's in heavy rotation right
really
now
good.
In my life, and it's super duper good. And if you could play the song Dis Generation, D-I-S Generation.
We'll play that in a commercial break.
Yep, that would
for sure.
That'd be sweet.
We will do that. So you'll hear Dis Generation. Do you have to say it? Dis Generation?
Well, because it's spelled D-I-S. Well, are you familiar with years ago in the 80s? Pass die Dutchie pon die left hand side.
Absolutely.
So at the beginning of that song is Dis Generation.
Right.
Rules die Nation.
Got it.
With version. Song the ditties with the sun, songs they really make you rub and scrub. And delete. Anyway.
Billy, bum. Billy, bum.
I said, pass the Dutchie on the left. It's so freaking catchy. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Musical youth.
Oh, yeah.
That's who that was back in the day.
That's good time.
But anyway, they sample that in the song. And so when I say these, I'm assuming.
You'll hear that?
Yeah. So.
Sweet. But anywho. That has been what's up. See, I also want to drop that says, that's what's up, and just play it at the end, like right there.
And that's what's up.
But we're moving on.
This just in.
So once again, I have done zero research for this portion.
Why did we do this?
I watched the Oscars. Did you watch the Oscars?
Oh, that is what's in.
Yes,
that is what's up right. And what's in. And yes,
that's just in.
I watched like on Hulu, literally like maybe the first.
Like the 15 opening minutes monologue
and
stuff.
And the first award. Like okay. It goes straight into an award.
I was surprised by Kimmel, his opening monologue. I thought it was very good. I thought it was very relevant and sensitive and everything. Now, I also think it's hilarious that Jimmy Kimmel has become this like beacon of like liberal hope and light and equality and
it
stuff.
It is interesting.
And he's literally the co-host of the Man Show. Like, do we just forget about that? Well, I mean, he was young and like he was Comedy Central and all this like, stuff. But like that show was literally like, here's girls jumping on trampolines and like, I'm going to drink beer and smack butts. Like,
well, it was also a parody of that type of lifestyle.
Kind of.
It was clearly like it was so over the top. I mean, girls jumping on trampolines and right. That's how I always took it. Like, this was like making fun. They weren't celebrating the dudes who love that lifestyle.
I feel like they were.
I feel more like Adam Carolla maybe did.
Right.
But
he was right. He was right there with them.
But Jimmy Kimmel, I always got the snarkiness from him that made me say, yeah, you're making fun of these guys.
Got it.
I
think it's funny that he was literally the co-host of a show called The Man Show.
Right.
That featured girls in bikinis jumping on trampolines and like chugging beer and smacking butts and stuff.
I'm guessing.
And now he's like,
yeah,
he gets on his show and he's like, I'm going to give a heartfelt speech that's going to go viral on YouTube now. And like, it's weird.
I'm going to guess though, but I bet I'm going to guess that even like then during Man Show,
yeah,
that his personality was such like, you know, that
I don't remember. I mean, I remember aspects of the Man Show, but I don't remember I don't remember his personality per se. Like, I don't necessarily be like, oh, yeah, he was the more goofy or lighthearted, whatever. Like,
well, you know how I have a story about everything.
Yeah.
About everything.
You do?
I do.
Do you want me to hit the button?
Well, it's on the same thing, but yeah, of course. Hit the button. Speaking of the Man Show.
Yeah. Yes.
So this sounds like it's part of a punchline of a joke about,
okay,
you know, everybody.
Yeah.
But anyway, my great uncle was in the Oompah band on the Man Show.
Okay.
Who I never met him. And I'm still kind of mad at my late grandmother for her kind of reluctance to kind of hook us up.
Sure.
Right. Because he was in entertainment.
Right. And you're like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was a big band kind of showman called Spike Jones back in the like 40s and
not
50s.
Spike
Jones. Not Spike Jones, the director okay, who, right. who spells it with a Z.
Oh, gotcha.
But this is Spike Jones spelled with just Jones.
Right.
But he was very popular.
Sure.
You know, and my uncle was in his band.
Nice.
Like he played with a lot of them.
Was he like a tuba player?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Some kind of musician. But they did these big band musicians out in Hollywood back in the day, you know, that was like a gig. It was
absolutely.
Like a sweet gig.
Yeah.
And they did like comedy. They did these comedy things, Jorgi Jorgensen and the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yep. And my mom would go off, you know, talking about it.
Nice.
And actually I found him on YouTube.
Oh, like playing in the bands and stuff?
Or? Like, just like...
That's so cool.
It is.
You do know everybody. It's ridiculous.
It's true. It's true.
So, I was... I can't talk. Right. I was pleasantly surprised by his opening monologue for the Oscars.
Huh.
I thought the jokes were funny. I thought they, like, were well done. The little... Anyway. I thought the presentation of the Oscars this year was very solid because I watched the whole thing from beginning to end and I was like, this is good. And in between, I don't know if you saw them, but there was like a really, really good like supercut that they put like 90 years of the Oscars or whatever. And then they just showed clip after clip after clip after clip of like kick-ass scenes from movies.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is the coolest freaking thing I've ever seen.
I think I saw some of that. Yeah.
Like they kept doing it. Like they did it for like, here's, you know, the award for best supporting actor. And then they showed like
somebody
clips of like everyone who won it. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is like all the little supercuts they did were bomb ass. Like, I was on board for all of them.
Yeah, you know, it's on Hulu. I might still watch it because I watched the first one and the first actress that came out to present an award, they showed a scene and she won the best supporting actress from like the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name.
Me neither.
But it was awesome.
Yes.
It was kind of cool watching her do her thing.
Yep.
And then I bet you, can you imagine like being a wise old actor in Hollywood and being kind of brought out to like hand out an award,
right?
And then kind of seeing a clip of yourself like
when you're in your 20s and your prime, like
right?
That's so cool.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was really well done, and it was very obvious that they were trying to be as not PC is not the right term, but they're like
woke,
right? Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
yeah. It was very obvious they were like trying to be as woke as possible.
Right.
They're like women and black people and everyone.
We're on board.
Yes, everyone's great. And then it was funny because like every time though, like a woman got up and gave like a powerful speech or like not or like and the nominations are, and they'd always say something like these four men and Greta Gerwig or what, you know, whatever her, like whatever their names are. They would always say like these men and then they name the women. And I'm like, I get what you're doing, but we get it. Like we get it.
I get it. Like,
it's just
beat me over the head.
But I mean, hey, like beat everyone over the head.
No
like,
kidding. That's fine.
Yeah. Just hammer it home until it changes. What I did find weird about that situation is every time I've ever watched the Oscars in the history of me watching the Oscars, the previous year's best actor will give out the best actress award, and the previous year's best actress will give out the best actor, or you know what I mean?
Right.
This year it was like women presenting everything.
Huh.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre.
No dudes?
I mean, there was, but like for the best acting stuff, it was like women and then more women.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, I see what you're doing. I guess, but like it kind of breaks the tradition, but I guess that's the whole point of like, you know, Time's Up is breaking tradition and equality and everything. So
did you see
what I'm talking about? Cause I'm a man.
It's true. We're limited by our perspective.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so did you see Frances McDormand's thing?
Speech?
Clearly you did.
Yes.
And how was that?
Her speech?
Cause that was something that they talked about on the news.
It was good. She started off just, you know, normal, thanking people, and then she kind of went crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, kind of weird. She, like, kind of broke down, like, it was, like, weirdly laughing the whole time, but it was like, I need all the women in the house to stand up. Like, it was weird. Like, she went, it was kind of weird. It's like, you know, remember Howard Dean when he was, like, running for president, and he got, like, real excited. Right. It reminded me of that, because, like, it was like, here's my moment. I have a time and I have speech and I'm going to give it. And she wasn't like reading anything. She was just going from the heart. Uh-huh. And I felt like it kind of got away from her a little.
She probably but, like at some point was like, I don't care.
Right.
You know, like you, whatever's going like me wanting to hammer a nail in the wall.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah. Just
I don't
it.
Care.
Yeah. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say.
This is what's up. Yeah. And I'm going to do this and say it. And so.
Right.
And
but it was good. It was really good speech.
Yeah. If I get like blacklisted and I never work again. Doesn't matter. I've had a hell of a career.
And I got my Oscar.
Yeah. I got my second that's the Oscar.
Thing.
Yeah.
They gave everyone. I feel like they were just giving them out. Be not 100% for the political reasons, but I feel like they were like.
So,
because like, don't get me wrong, Jordan Peele totally deserved to win Best Original Screenplay for Get Out.
Right.
But it's all like before the Oscars aired, I was almost like, I can guarantee you that Jordan Peele's going to win something. And I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
Like,
no, I know what you mean.
Like, I was like, I guarantee it. Like, the pot's a boiling and we need to like simmer it down a little bit.
We need to do this. Yeah.
That's what it kind of felt like. But it's the stupid Oscars. Like, this the thing. Yeah. Like, it's the stupid Oscars. Like,
it is.
It's Hollywood blowing itself. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
And so we all need to get off of the freaking hype train and be like, oh my God, did you know that they gave out the Oscar for this? It's like, no shit. Like, all those movies are nominated for Best Picture. Guess why? Because they're all freaking great.
Right.
Like, it's just because one wins the award. It's like, what is it? Shakespeare in Love. Did you know that Shakespeare in Love beat out Saving Private Ryan for Best Picture in 1996?
No.
Right. And now, do you like Shakespeare in Love?
Never saw it.
Okay. Do you like Saving Private Ryan?
I do.
Yeah. Now, I personally love both of those movies, but as far as movie making and story and acting and everything, I'm like, Saving Private Ryan is clearly better.
Yeah. there's a lot that are like that, where they like kind of looking throughout the year, you're like, you know, this actually won Best Picture that year. You're like, and then like 10 years later,
like Forrest Gump beat Pulp Fiction.
Well, I'm all right with that.
Right.
But I thought it beat something else too.
But Pulp Fiction.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah. And now in the hindsight, I think Shawshank Redemption is by far the best movie.
Probably. I don't know. Pulp Fiction was kind of revolutionary at the time.
Yeah.
Kind of. Are you not a Pulp Fiction Tarantino guy?
I am. I go back and forth. Gotcha. I go back and forth. Like sometimes I'm with people who are like, he's overrated. He kind of is a...
Wrong.
He's a rip-off artist.
He's so good.
And then other times where I'm like, he's very good. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Kobe Bryant. I would cheer against him all the time.
Right.
But to say he's not
Oscar
good...
He's an Oscar winner now.
Or Derek Jeter.
He won an Oscar.
I did. I was going to ask you about his speech. But like Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan of the Yankees.
Right.
And so I don't like him. But it's stupid
but
for me
so
to...
he's so good.
Yeah, it's stupid to me to not acknowledge that he was very good.
Yeah, and he's a good dude.
Like, and a
Jeter's
super
good
dude.
Oh,
like, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big Jeter fan.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because it's more fun to hate the Yankees.
Of course.
Hate the team.
Right, but Jeter's so good.
But what were we talking about, dang it?
The Oscars and speeches and Francis. Oh, how it was like they were kind of like catering to the political needs of the world. It kind of felt like that going into it. When you're watching it, it didn't seem as much.
That's the sound of me not connecting back to my thought.
My bad. I couldn't. We were probably talking about like 18 different things in that one thing that we were talking about.
And then when we play it back, I'll be like, God damn it.
Right. I needed to say this. It was so poignant.
Listen, everyone. I call up everybody.
Right.
This is what you have to remember.
Just call the voicemail so we play it on the next one.
Right.
But it was good. Like, it was good. It was good. Presentation, I should
say.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
That's cool.
But again, it's just the Oscars, and it's just them being, you know, we're so snooty, and we love ourselves.
Yeah.
So I did not think Shape of Water was going to win Best Picture. Now, I haven't seen...
You didn't see it?
All of it. I have not seen it. I haven't seen a few of them. But just as far as the buzz and all that stuff was going, I thought Three Billboards was going to take it.
Uh-huh.
And I was wrong. A lot of people were wrong because Shape of Water won. And I believe it's Guillermo. Okay, first of all, I can't say Guillermo del Toro without thinking about it.
Guillermo.
If I'm just going to say it, Guillermo del Toro, like I can't. It's weird. Anyway.
All good. Guillermo del Toro.
But I believe this is the first time he won anything. I believe.
I wonder too. He's kind of been like...
He makes weird-ass movies, but they're good.
I love them.
Yeah, they're good. I like the majority of
Pacific
the movies.
Pacific Rim?
Yeah, that one's fun. That's just a fluff movie, but it's fun.
Yeah, but Pan's Labyrinth?
Pan's Labyrinth is...
That's no joke.
That's like his masterpiece.
It is super good.
Yeah.
It's super good, and it's dark, and it's
movie.
Like just dark in every way.
Yep.
And then what else did he do? Oh, and Hellboy. I enjoyed
Hellboy 1
a lot.
And 2. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's done so many things. It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to think of what else he's done.
I can't think of the names of them, but there's a lot. There's like weirdo ones that
it's
aren't
so funny.
Like all like.
And it's strictly kind of like a ethnic racist way, but I get him and Alfonso Cuarón mixed up.
Sure.
Just because they're both Hispanic names and I'm racist.
Yeah, of course you are. We all are. Everyone's a little bit racist.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I like
And then I feel like they just kind of gave it to Gary Oldman just because it was like, yeah, you deserve one.
The Charles Barkley MVP award.
And like a Leo DiCaprio, like, we should have given it to you a long time ago, but we're going to give it to you for this one.
Did Spielberg ever get one for best director?
I'm sure.
Because it was
like
him, like, it was
like,
a long time
sure.
and he didn't get one.
Scorsese, too, like, never had one.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, idiots.
That's
like,
the thing, too. It's like, so who cares?
Well, and then, like, Peter Jackson, what, like, they didn't nominate the Lord of the Rings movies until the third one came out. And then literally that movie like swept everything because they're like, we're going to lump these three movies together and we're just going to give you the awards at the end. And it's like, this is dumb, but I get it.
You wouldn't want, I mean, I don't know if you would sweep it all 3 years, but.
Like, right. But still, like visual effects at the time for the first one, it's like you should have won that one.
Each film
like,
should stand on its own.
Right. But, they're just like, we're just not going to give you anything till the end. It's like, that's what makes it stupid. Like, it's really just a stupid thing, but people take too much stock in it. They're like, oh, did you know that Shape of Water won Best Picture? So now you have to go see Shape of Water?
I want a stupid award.
Right. I want one,
Daddy,
too.
I want a stupid award. I want one now.
But I don't want to sound like I'm like down on the Oscars because I really enjoy them. And like I love movies and all that stuff. But it was just kind of like things. People won that I wasn't. Well, like Best Actor, I was like, are they going to give it to Daniel Day-Lewis? Like I was like, this is what I was thinking.
He was in a movie, so therefore he must get it.
I was like, are they going to give it to Daniel Day-Lewis because he said he's retiring?
Right.
He's no more movies. So, like, they could give it to him because it's his last movie.
Right.
Are they going to give it to Gary Oldman because he hasn't won one yet? Like, are they going to do that? And, like, at no point in the in my predictions am I like...
Who had the best acting?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm like, who did a better acting? That's not how
Who just killed it this year?
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I get it, I guess. But, yeah. So, like, Frances McDormand won, which I haven't seen that movie yet, but I hear she's redonkulously good in it.
She's very good.
But, like, I was, like, rooting for Margot Robbie just because I saw I, Tonya, and I was like, she's fucking great in that movie.
Yeah, she kills it. You know, in fact, if Frances McDormand, I, in my opinion, wasn't a seasoned Hollywood actress who's kind of been there before,
right?
Margot Robbie might have... won that,
right.
I think.
Yeah, because she was so good.
She was very good.
Allison Janney won for supporting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which she was also good. Anyway, we can talk about who won and who didn't win and all that stuff forever, but that's not
that's funny because I don't know
talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really know all the winners. Like, right. Like it's kind of it escaped me. I know that Shape of Water won, mm-hmm. Best Picture.
Sam Rockwell won for
which is great.
Supporting actor.
He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you see that or no?
No.
Three
I did not.
Billboards.
I did not.
That's a good one. That
I haven't seen many of them.
That's one that you could see on your own big screen.
Yeah.
It's hard to say on the little screen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because we have big-ass TVs. So let's see. Allison Janney won Best Supporting Actor. Sam Rockwell won Best Actress. Sam Rockwell won Best Supporting Actor. Best Actor was Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Best Actress was Frances McDormand for Three Billboards. Director was Guillermo del Toro, Shape of Water. The screenplay was Jordan Peele, Get Out, and Best Picture was Shape of Water as well.
And
there's stuff in there like makeup and stuff that I don't remember who won those ones, but
who won? Okay, so
best animated was Coco, the Pixar movie. They
Also
won.
You saw?
They also won the best original song, which I was like, Greatest Showman. But
Greatest Showman.
Yeah,
was that nominated for anything?
Best original song. And
which song?
This Is Me.
This Is Me?
Mm-hmm. Which is so that's weird. Like it's not weird, but it was because they did performances of all the best original songs.
Right.
Like they sang them all.
They like to do.
Yep. And all of them were very much the same along the lines of like equality and acceptance and
oh really?
Except for Coco, which is the song called Remember Me, and it's very sentimental and it's very good. But it's like, maybe that's why it won, because like it kind of stood out above the other ones. But all the other ones were very, very powerful and like super like, whoa. Like,
huh. Now, did you saw Coco?
Yes.
Do you remember that song? And,
absolutely.
And thought, ooh, good song.
Yes.
Was there other songs that you thought maybe would be an even better song?
Not necessarily for that movie. It made sense for the movie, but that song outside of the movie doesn't necessarily do it for me. In the context of the movie, I'm like, yeah, because it's called Remember Me, and it's literally he's trying to remember his family, and so it makes sense. But, like, This Is Me from Greatest Showman is like, yeah, like, it's so empowering and like, woo! Like, it's like, it's like all the freaks in the freak show singing the song. It's all about acceptance and not being afraid of to be who you are. And,
so, God, you know, that's interesting because there's Barnum, the old show, which we were just talking about. There's Freaks starring our good friend, Matthew Davis. Or maybe, I don't know if you know Matt Davis or not.
Yeah, yeah.
But he took it to Broadway.
Nice.
But it was a show about freaks. I don't know if it actually had a Barnum, P.T. Barnum.
Right. Well, there's also like Sideshow is another one where it's about the conjoined twins and But so, you know, Coco, I predicted that one's going to win because it's Pixar and they usually take it home no matter what.
Pixar.
Dude.
I hate them. I love them so much.
Right. But anyway, I think that's all the major categories and winners.
Right on. It's a little weird how I was kind of how sometimes where the World Series comes and you're just kind of on the periphery of interest.
Yep.
That's how the Oscars were for me this year.
Yeah, I happened to have that day off and I was like, oh, I'll watch them. Because we were going to record, but then we didn't. And
did you notice like on social media, it was like generally like Oscar party, Oscar party, Oscar party.
Nobody cared.
And this year it was kind of me.
Right. And then Trump was like, it was the worst. No one watched it. No one watched the Oscars.
Did he say that?
Yeah. He was like,
that fucker makes me want to watch
it. Low ratings and like, yeah, whatever. It's like, duh, it had low ratings. Everyone just cares about Googling the winners afterwards. Like, that's what you do. But anyway, we could talk about that forever. It's been a while. But let's take a quick break and you'll hear This Generation coming up
right after
this break on the new Tribe Called Quest album. And then we're going to talk about a TV show. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hand the box with a capital G, ball in the beat. Status Chris Paul or John Wall in the league. Grab a mic till the knuckles will bleed. Cause I believe the potent and I'm potent. Have you geek like speed? If rationale is natural, I will weave. It's all edges and peace. Setting press free on a permanent steeze.
I'm in the world where my princess is Leia. Ain't she feeling my Vader? And my lore grows greater and greater. Pim trails dropping poisonous vapors. Have you shaking like Gator?
Been trill, nigga, process to data.
Blu-ray wave, follow a beta. I DVR for later. Cop a monster with a G to my waiter. You can't define us X, Y, Z. It's a generational elitist, have you cheating virtual think pieces?
See these written words from medical science, brains defiant, thoughts heavy, baby, they're a major appliance. Leave a tan when dropping to flying us through a giant. Dude's nice, he tight screwed in with some pliers, cool with some buyers. Yeah, nigga, cool with some growers.
Never know tattletales, only I don't know us. Yeah, show me generation, show us what you gon' show us. So listen, mommy, see, we could collude with a boy. Mouthpiece like coins with a jubilant noise. Dude's rude and as useless as coins. Shoot them boys, burst and rehearse in the soothing of loins. Talk to Joey Earl, Kendrick Cole, gatekeepers afloat. They are extensions of instinctual soul. It's the highest of commodity grade, and you can get it today. Hitting, reading pages of Poe. Telly is low, cuddle bunny ready to go. Day of the dead,
bury all the zombies instead.
And it's just your aftermath, bust a cut in your dreads.
Bruce Lee and niggas, Ryo niggas, UFC. Smoke trio niggas, sizzle out your USB.
Surge pricing on these Ubers, I'ma get me a cab.
Yo, where'd your Obi at?
Arriving on impeccable grass, I'll be in my seat waiting for that law to pass.
Cash it, been waiting for a Jets title since last. Richard Todd, Todd Bowles, gangrene on that ass.
Magic Mike on the mic, David Blaine Douglas Henning.
In the church of Bust the rhymes, it's my sermon, you get me. Horizontal spitting, I'm the exorcist of your witness. Don't interrupt me, nigga. Sorry, that's a sin unforgiven. Like how we be skipping on bees like cooking crack in the kitchen.
Wait, just start the package, dry it, bag up the wet. It's Mad City's not a game, easy, quiet on set.
Fine, student of the past, trailblazing the day. Not acknowledging a trend, I swept up in a phase. We still the highest of commodity grades. And you can get it, get it, get it, get it, get it today.
That's good.
Yeah, and we're back, everyone. You just heard that This Generation song. Dude, that was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Is the whole album that as good as that? Or like, yes. Is that just the one that you're like stuck
that's
on?
That's like, well, the whole thing is super good.
Yeah.
Like, super good. They do this one song called Solid Wall of Sound. And
also good.
Yeah, and they create this loop using Elton John's Benny and the Jets. Yeah, kills, baby, you can bet up. Okay. So they take this little part out.
Right.
It's on a wall of sound.
Got
it's on a wall of sound. And I'm doing the dishes the other day, listening to it the first time. Like,
this is good.
God damn. Yeah. Like, just like, yeah, and just take, and it, yeah, it just
awesome.
Takes you along in what you're doing in a really impressive way. So
I totally dig it.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Totally. I have
Tribe
Spotify
Call,
and
Tribe Called Quest.
What I should do is see, that's the thing. Like I've been listening to Greatest Showman soundtrack on Spotify and I'm like,
you should buy
it. I should buy it. Like, to, you know, support and give support where it's due. But at the same time, I'm like, you guys are billionaires. And so have you gone to the movies lately and seen anything in the theater?
Black Panther was the last one I think I saw.
Okay. Now, I think they did it, too. But there's been this trend that I've noticed.
Okay.
Where there's, like, somebody before the movie, like the director or the star or somebody, and they, like, there's a little thing, and it's like, hey, everyone, I'm so-and-so, the director of such-and-such, and I just want to thank you all for coming out to the movies. Right? And then the movie starts.
Have you seen
anything like that? Did it in Greatest Showman. I think they might have done it for Black Panther.
Now, was the Greatest Showman, was that the dude who did Moulin Rouge or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's the director and it's Hugh
Baz
Jackman.
Lerman, right?
Right. That's not him.
Not him. Okay.
But so it has the director and Hugh Jackman is like, hey, everyone,
so
just want to give
Baz
you
Lerman
a big...
came out.
And, yes, and, not Baz Luhrmann came out and said, like, thanks for coming out to the movies. We just want to give a big thanks to you guys. And they did that in, oh, that was the other thing that we didn't talk about in the Oscars, but like they went to a movie theater where they were doing like a private screening of Wrinkle in Time or whatever. It was a setup.
Right.
And then like all these stars from the Oscars like walked across the street and were like, hey, everyone, thanks for coming to the movies or whatever. And then like passed out candy. So it was like this big like thing of like, thanks for going to the movies, which I guess like is why MoviePass is still a thing, because they just really want people to go to the movies. I guess sales are down that much.
Well,
that's what I take away from it. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
You mean why they have MoviePass or...
Right.
Well, I think that
because
think
like no one goes to the movies anymore.
I think that the movie industry would help subsidize. Like, yeah, would help subsidize.
I'm sure they do.
And it is kind of important to kind of make a night out of entertainment being part of our culture.
Except
that you
it's
do.
So fucking expensive.
Well, that's why we love MoviePass, because
so
you can do it.
Like it's not just movies. So
everything.
Samantha's a big country music fan. Loves Kenny Chesney.
$85 each.
$93 for the cheap seat.
That's so infuriating.
And, right. And so I got an email. I was like, Kenny Chesney. I was like, maybe I'll buy her tickets. And I was like, what's a sitting down ticket, but like a cheapo one?
Right.
$95. And I was like, nope. Sorry, babe. I did it for you last year. It's not going to happen this year or whatever. Yeah. And then I got another email. I was like, hey, Les Mis is coming. Now, I've never seen Les Mis. And I don't really know Les Mis. It's like the one show that I've been saving to like...
You ever listen to it?
I've know a few of the songs, but I don't really know it.
Okay.
Like I probably know the big ones and like I can kind of sing along to the choruses of them, but I don't,
did
I don't
see
know
the movie?
It. Nope. Because I'm saving it.
Okay.
So I can see Les Mis as like a big old, like I'm going to see Les Mis.
Okay.
And I got an email coming to San Diego and I'm like, ooh, I can go see Les Mis. Cheap seat. $97.
Oh, shit. That makes me think.
I mean, you
I
can
went
go
to
the tippity top of the balcony, and I think that's like 40-something.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I don't want to see Les Mis from the tippity top of the balcony. I want a decent seat. And this is a decent seat. Not a good one. A decent seat. And it's $97.
Yeah, you know, I saw that, like, 30 years ago.
And you fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
Right. But you also didn't know it was, like, constant.
Yep.
Anyway.
But anyway, you might enjoy it.
Right.
I fell asleep, but you know.
Like 97, like I'm not going to go. I can't.
That's a lot of money.
And so trying to get out of the house and experience art and entertainment, it's like, why is it $97?
Yeah. I was going to say, if Kirsten spent that kind of money or like comparable back then, no wonder she dumped me.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
No appreciative son of a bitch.
So what? I don't know what screen you have this on.
This is just the Netflix thing, but it doesn't.
I've never seen this screen. It's like it a screensaver.
Yeah, which is nice, especially for this TV.
It's bizarro. I've never seen this. It's like literally scrolling through like images of
mainly Netflix originals.
All Netflix. It's yeah. all Netflix originals. Yeah. And I'm like, never heard of it. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. Oh, Matt Servant. I haven't heard of that one. Okay, great.
Have you watched any of that?
The very first episode.
Just the first episode.
Right.
It's good.
I'm sure it is. I really like the first one. Same thing with BoJack Horseman. I was like, I watched a couple of those.
I don't think I've watched, but I love Will Arnett.
Right.
So.
And Big Mouth. I've watched a couple of those.
Oh, like, you haven't watched that whole thing?
No.
No?
I don't watch anything, dude. Which is why it's impressive that I watched what were.
You saw this, Fuller House?
I saw the first season. I think they're on three seasons now.
I'm like, oh, really?
Holy crap. Damn. Yeah. They're cranking them
out. I don't watch any of them. But I didn't watch Full House.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. That's okay. Leading into our topic, sort of. It's just like 20 minutes left to talk about something.
That's all right.
I really want to talk about the show Everything Sucks.
Everything Sucks. I'm so excited about the show.
You hate it.
No, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. And seriously, this is like a crazily exciting show because it takes place in the town I used to live in.
Boring Oregon.
Boring Oregon.
Yes, we mentioned that on the previous one.
Yeah.
And it. So that's what entices you to it. And what entices me to it is it takes place at these kids that go to high school in 1996. It's about this group of freshmen, these three freshman kids in high school in 1996.
What year did you graduate?
2001. So my freshman year of high school was 97, 98. Okay. So it's literally like right now.
Right there.
Right. It's the time the show's happening. And so they do like not gags, but like they're not making jokes of it. It's just how it was where it's like they're trying to log onto the internet and like it's taking forever. And he's like, just wait for it. Just wait for it. Just wait for it. Wait for it to load. Just wait for it. And it's like, do. And like you see like the loading of the internet page.
Right.
And I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. Like it's hilarious to me because that's exactly like what happened.
That's a frame of reference.
100%. And so like, I feel like this show is tailor made for 90s kids.
Yep. That's cool.
Right.
And it speaks right to you.
100%.
That's dope.
Well, and it speaks more to me also because I was like a dorky drama club kid. Mm-hmm. And this show centers around drama club / AV club, like the two clubs.
So speaking of.
Yeah.
We get into the show a little bit.
Absolutely.
The drama kids in the show.
Yeah.
How realistic in your experience was these super hot, you know, guy and girl who do stuff in front of the school, like spontaneously.
Not to the extreme that they do it in the show, but drama, like, I mean, that's drama. Like we had those weirdo things happen, but not to that extent.
And I mean, and granted, when I was in Boring Oregon,
yeah,
going to boring high school, which there's no boring high school.
Right.
It would be Barlow. It would be the school that I went to, Barlow High School. But anyway, there was nothing like that. we had drama.
Right.
I mean, I was in drama.
Sure.
But we did.
You didn't just bust out soliloquies and scenes in the middle of the cafeteria.
And they weren't like, because clearly these were like the popular kids.
Right.
Like both the guy and the girl. Like,
yes.
Super popular.
Right.
And that wasn't the case.
Drama Club wasn't the popular kids. We were known. We were the known kids.
Right. I mean, you got to do stuff. And people would, you would do, they would have an assembly and you'd do stuff in front of everybody.
Absolutely.
So people would like get to know you and see you do things.
Yes. But they weren't necessarily the pop. We'll see. Right. But as the show goes on, you kind of learn that they're not really the popular kids.
Right.
Like they think they're like the shit.
Right. That's cool.
Right.
I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it for sure. And plus, because Andrea, I mean, you guys must be about the same age. Maybe she's older than you, I think.
Probably.
But when we're watching it, and she comes in and singing along every word of a song.
Oh, yeah,
that
dude,
I'm like,
all the music.
I don't
the
know.
The music is the shit. It's crazy because, like, what Stranger Things did for, like, 80s vibe, this 100% nails 90s vibe.
See, now, like, I couldn't help
to
but think.
To a T.
All right. I hate to be, like, the poopy guy.
Oh, no, do it. That's why I was like, have you watched it yet? Have you watched it? And you're like, I'm halfway through it, and meh. And I was like, oh, my God, like, it's going to be great to talk about. Because, like, we normally we're like, yeah, it was great. And you're like, yeah, it was great. And, like.
The there was a couple things. Like, I mean, for the most part, everyone is enjoyable for the most part.
Okay. Yes.
But there's a whole lot of like extraordinarily predictable predictability.
Really?
I felt like, so as soon, I mean, so much, I don't know if it's a spoiler
or, yeah, who cares? Or spoiler alert. I don't know how long the show's been out, but whatever.
It's been out, I don't know, for a month or so.
You can watch it.
And I heard about it because the old friend said, like, oh, boring. You know, yeah, it's right. Boring, and I got to watch it. So, they kind of like, she's a lesbian. He's
right. He's got a crush on her.
Mm-hmm. And so that whole storyline is right now, at least, a little painful. I mean, for everybody,
sure.
Like for everybody involved in this.
Absolutely.
You don't, you know, you feel bad for him and you feel bad for her.
Right.
And so,
like, but that's cause they're good.
That's good. The storyline between the kids' parents, like,
oh, the like mom and the principal budding romance, and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, there mm-hmm. was kind of like presented really like, here yeah. you go. And yep, you're yep, like, yep. Oh, well, okay. I guess that's, you know, this is what's going to happen here.
Right.
And,
well, cause like they're the two adult characters on the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're both single parents. Oh, I see what you're going to do here.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Where that, yeah, it's definitely spelled out, but I didn't have a problem with it. I'm on board with it.
So far, I mean, so far it's not like nothing has been. There hasn't been anything that has made me go ugh,
right?
You know, but just a lot of it's like, for me, I find it a little predictable and a little like it's a, to me it's a little bit of a B rated, you know, not it's A team, it's the B team Stranger Things. Like,
I can see that.
Like,
but it's
definitely its own thing. And to me, it wants to be like Freaks and Geeks.
I was
like,
just going to say, I would equate it to more of a like 90s version of Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
But I think Freaks and Geeks was in the 90s too.
Yeah.
But this is like
Freaks and Geeks, when I watch it, it seems a little bit more genuine to me.
Yes, I would agree with that, because Freaks and Geeks was so, I mean, talented, so group good. Of people. It's yeah. so good. Talented and group. I feel like this show is trying to be the
90s Stranger Things. Like the
kind of, yes, but it's more like the paying homage to the 90s in show form, if that makes any sense.
Speaking of which,
I don't know if that makes any
sense. Are they using original recordings? Because sometimes you're listening to this
from the songs? Music.
Yeah. And it's like, this is like, sounds a lot like it, but it doesn't sound like it's it.
Yeah. As far as I know, I'm like jamming along to every song that they play. And I'm like, yep, that's it. Yep. That's, yep, I mean, that's Spin Doctors. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, no, actually, that was like one of them that right? I was like, I don't oh, know no. if that's like.
Oh, yeah. It's the real deal.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right, so if I look it up right now, yep. music of.
Yep, it's all original stuff. Absolutely.
All right.
And so that's probably where all their budget went, was paying for all those songs.
Well, it made me think that they didn't have the budget. They had the budget to use it, but not the originals. And so they got some folks to do as good a knockoff.
No way, dude. No way.
That's how I felt listening to
it. Wrong. Nope, because nope, because I would recognize Rivers Cuomo singing, I'm dumb, she's a lesbian. Like, out of anywhere.
Okay, that one maybe. But the Spin Doctors.
So they just randomly pick songs to do covers of? Like,
I think whatever they could afford. You know,
I guess.
They could afford.
No way, dude. They're all OG. Now, was the music video in the first episode? Was that the first one where he makes the music video?
I don't think it was the very first one.
I think it was. But okay, so that music video thing, like 100%. Is like giving me all the 90s jam, like 100%.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I was obsessed with MTV. I was obsessed with music videos. Everything that he did was like, he did Smells Like Teen Spirit. He did Blind Melon. He did
all the video
Oasis.
Stuff, all the
he did
Alanis
Morissette. He did Boys to Men. Like, all, I was like, I knew every single reference, because I was like, yeah, I would sit at home and watch these freaking music videos. And like, it was so good. Like,
all right, it doesn't say that, but maybe it was specifically that Spin Doctors song, or wait a minute, no, or Through Our like, Mind.
Well, Spin Doctors is the, they did they do Two Princes?
If you
Yeah, Two Princes.
That's
yeah.
their only hit.
That's not their only hit. They had Little Miss, Little Miss, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong as well.
Oh, okay. I am.
What you gonna do?
Little Miss Can Be Right Wrong.
With a little rock and roll song.
Anyway, okay, I could be wrong. And that could be just one of those things where I'm hearing it.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the way I'm hearing it.
Well, and
I'm
also like, it's TV and like the way that they're transitioning and you're paying attention to the people and not necessarily the music. And
Yeah, but part of me is like, huh.
But it is a mixtape like, made for me. And I'm like, yeah.
What was that movie, dang it, recently that came out? And it was a TV show. It was vinyl.
Oh.
And
oh, yeah. You're saying that they did like Styles of or something.
And I never even finished the show because it was so off-putting that they're like, this is supposed to be the Led Zeppelin. They you say Led Zeppelin and then they play this
style of. Right.
Boo. Boo. So I'm glad.
Like, this is a booty.
It is. It was stupid. But I'm glad that at least they had songs.
Right.
You know, and they were there according to this.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing the show does. I thought does really well. It's like it picks the right 90s song for the right moment of the show, and they play it as a perfect little transition. And like I said, me being a total 90s, like I am a 90s dork. Like I grew up in the 90s, and like that's my jam. And I have crazy nostalgia for the 90s, like crazy. Right. And it's crazy because, like, everyone, it's, like, coming around full circle. I feel like it's coming around harder than other things have come around. Because, you know, they say, like, every 30 years or whatever, like, that thing, like, the Styles or whatever comes back. And, like, I feel like they are crazy harping on the 90s stuff. Where they're like, here's, like, you can buy Walkmans and you can do this. And, like, you can have this. And, like, you can look at these glowy hats. And, like, it's kind of 80s, but it's, like, really, like, the 90s is when, like, the big baggy pants and the Janko jeans and, like, all this stuff was happening. So, like, I have a weirdo, crazy, weird nostalgia place. Like, do you have – what's your, like – happy nostalgia generation.
Well,
or
I mean,
decade.
It just depends. I mean, like
are the, you like the 80s, the 80s is, I mean, like your jam?
Generally, because it's like I graduated in the middle of the 80s, so I graduated high school in 85.
Okay.
And so that whole,
did you ever watch that 70s show?
I did.
Now, I love that show.
I liked it.
I thoroughly enjoyed that show, just for the comedy of, I like the characters and stuff.
Right.
But like, I'm wondering if you were a kid, like a high schooler in the 70s, if that show would be even better. Like, I feel, because I feel like they nailed the 70s real well.
They got a lot of the, yeah, like kind of a,
but there's not vibe. Really like an 80s show that takes place in the 80s.
There's
like
not.
Wonder Year, no, because Wonder Years took place, it was made in the 80s, but it took place in like 50s, right?
No, there isn't really like a show that's set in the 80s. That at least that's popular. I'm sure there were,
right?
That just kind of failed.
Stranger Things. But that's more... I don't see it as
it's
a show that takes place in the 80s. It's more of a visual of, like, this is a reminding you of the 80s.
Of movies and stuff of the 80s.
Now...
But when you watch, like, Time... Not, yeah, no, wait a minute. What is it? Oh, CNN does the 70s,
the
80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do the 80s and they play clips and... Oh, yeah, I'm just right there.
You're just
there.
In the zone.
I'm right there, yeah.
So I wonder how come there's not, like, a... I wonder how come there's
done,
not
dude.
Like a TV
there
show
we go.
For
there's
the
our
80s.
Opening.
Well, they tried that 80s
show.
That 80s show
was terrible.
It was terrible. Like, but it was totally, total garbage.
I would do a show and I'd call it Frankie Say Something, you know, like that.
Frankie Says.
Yeah, Frankie Say.
Relax.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But I feel like this, I feel like Everything Sucks nails, like it nails the 90s
nails
vibes.
90s.
Like 100%.
It's interesting. I
and, like
I'm
the
listening
and like the goofy weirdo kid with like his Ace Ventura obsession. And it's so perfect. Like, anyway.
Yeah. And at that time, it's so funny. At that time, I'm living in Seattle as a 20 something, a little out of touch with a lot of pop
like
culture.
Pop culture stuff. Yeah, you're heavy in the grunge and the indie music and the rock.
Right,
and, yeah,
into college radio and listening to that.
You're the coffee shop era.
I don't know. Maybe.
That came a little later, but yes.
But, anyway, so I got to take their word on it.
Right.
You know, I can't say, oh, that's not the way it was, you know, but...
I feel like it.
So far, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. Also, because it is Andrea's time, too. And
yeah.
So
it's so good.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to watching.
Well, see, breaking subject real quick. Never the screensaver thing is showing a Netflix original. It says Club of Crows. It's kind of the way it looks. There's soccer balls. It's kind of like dark and cloudy behind it. They're wearing dark clothes. It looks kind of goofy, but it also looks like maybe it's like, what would you say the show's about based on this picture?
Soccer and romance.
A soccer team. And like, maybe like, I don't know. It's anyway, is another Netflix thing.
Should I turn this
like,
off?
No, it's just another Netflix thing. That's like, what the, like there's 700 new shows coming out this year. It is this year.
Good.
Anyway, so the show to me nails it right on the head, and it's difficult to totally dive into it because you haven't seen the full thing, and I don't necessarily want to spoil anything.
Well, we'd like to get some other folks to watch it too, and especially '90s kids.
If you have a '90s affinity like I do, check it out for sure.
Right on.
And the acting is, even though there's predictable storylines and stuff, kind of, the acting in the show is really good. I really like the principal. I feel like
he's, main kid is good.
Dude, Luke nails it. And Kate, the girl, I feel is nailing it as well. Like, they're all really good. And they're all super captivating. And it's a good coming of age, high school setting story. It's about these freshman kids that are thrown into this, like, oh no, we have to like make the seniors or whatever happy, and oh crap, what are we gonna do
in boring Oregon?
Now there's a scene where he's like walking past the sign or whatever with the girl.
That sign is fictional.
Oh, okay. Because I was here, I was gonna ask, the I was like, is there Oregon a sign where he, and like he made it, he's like,
for, I'm okay, he's I, like, I should say it's been a while, 20 years since, yeah, I've lived in boring.
Well, I was just curious because he's always like, oh, they never stay. She's right. Like, what? And he's like, they just take pictures of the sign and leave. Yeah. And it's like, I would imagine that, like, if you're in, like, what's Weed, California, where they're like, let's take a picture for the Weed sign. Like,
Weed.
Woo.
Welcome to Weed.
420 Weed.
You ever drive from here to Oregon? You ever done it through Weed?
Through Weed. You go on Weed. I was on Weed. On Weed. What is that? Is that
that's
half baked?
Yeah, half baked.
You ever seen that John Stewart?
You ever seen a $1
bill?
It's
John Stewart, right?
You ever seen a $1 bill on Weed?
Yeah, that's good.
That's funny.
Yeah. Speaking of weird, randomly disjointed, never heard of it. Oh wait, that's Kathy Bates is a pot dealer.
Something clearly there's a pot theme in there.
Anyway. So apparently what I'm getting from this screen, I've never seen the screensaver. It's like, I keep coming back to it cause it's weird. I've never seen this.
You have PS4?
Yes.
And this is what, if you ever just let it sit?
No, I guess I just turn it on and watch TV.
Turn it on and let it sit.
Anyway, so check out Everything Sucks. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. We'll finish it and talk about it more.
I've seen it.
Oh, you're all done with it.
I've finished all of it. And it's
when
fantastic.
I say we'll finish it, I mean you and me, the listener.
Absolutely.
Check it out. You and I will listen.
And let us know what else is good on Netflix. Like, I'm always looking for stuff to watch. Not really, but because of Samantha's weird schedule, I've been like, I need to watch something. And so I was like, oh, Everything Sucks is supposed to be good. I'll watch that. I feel like there's something else that I... Oh, there was this new like house. I like real estate and stuff. I like the house fixer-upper type shows.
Right.
And there's this weird British show that's like Extraordinary Houses or something, and I watched all of that too.
Oh, right on.
There's like six episodes where they go and look at like crazy weird houses.
Now, this deserves its own thing, but sure. Have you watched... Ooh, Inglourious Basterds is on. That's good.
Oh, snap.
And dang it, what's it called? A Stupid and Futile Gesture?
No, okay, that's the National Lampoon's.
Yes.
I wanted to watch that. I put it on my thing, my list.
You should watch it.
Is it good?
It's very good, and it's just, the topics are just super entertaining.
Right.
Like, you know, they're talking about...
Because the trailer is so good. Where it's like, and they joke around like, these people are play these real people. They don't look anything like them, but
right.
That's who they are.
Right.
Just go with it or whatever.
Right. They don't.
Right. But that's, I mean, whatever.
It's funny to see Joel McHale play young Chevy Chase.
Right.
Especially since, you know, they did so much stuff together.
Yeah.
On Community. But it's very enjoyable. It's a very good movie. And if you have interest in the movie Caddyshack and
yep.
Animal House.
Yeah.
And National Lampoon, which I don't know if you remember National Lampoon.
I don't know it from magazine form. I just know it based on movies.
I do. I mean, I remember it, and I remember it was around, like, all the cool older kids had it.
Right.
Like the smart kids had more, it.
Was it competing with MAD? Is it before MAD?
It was aimed at an older and more educated crowd than MAD. So, but yes, it was, it did at the same time as MAD.
Competing with it.
In fact, yeah, I'd love to see, like, a little movie about MAD magazine. Yeah,
there you go.
You know.
Come on, Netflix, get on it.
Netflix is like, good, that's one more.
We have 700, what's going on with your thing, dude? It's like tripping.
I don't know.
That's crazy. But I've been playing a lot of Nintendo as well.
Oh, there you go. Your new
Nintendo
flip?
Switch,
not flip. Switch.
And we also got the Friday the 13th game for PlayStation.
And?
It's fun. If you like horror
stuff. PS4?
Yeah. You can play as Jason and just murder the shit out of the camp counselors.
Oh, yeah?
It's fun. It's an online game, and it's like 8-player. Like, one person's Jason, 7 people are camp counselors, and it's like, good luck. Like, it's just fun.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is fun. But that's, yeah, anyway. We could wrap it up.
Yeah,
let's wrap it up.
Let's do that.
Watch Everything Sucks. Go see Greatest Showman. Watch that, because I desperately need to talk about it.
And check out Tribe Called Quest.
And check out the new Tribe Called Quest album. And I think I was going to play a song at the end of this, and I don't remember what it was going to be. So maybe there's a song at the end, and maybe there's not.
You might remember.
But anyway, send us an email or tweet at us or send us a voicemail, anything along those lines, and we'll gladly get back to you and talk about what you want to talk about.
Word.
But for now, this has been Life's Avenge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch. This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.